Our study tonight is out of Matthew chapter 21, verses 23 through 27. Christ as Israel's Messiah, seen in his appeal to John the Baptizer's witness. When Jesus presented himself as the Messiah at Jerusalem, he was not accepted by the chief priests and elders of the people, for they challenged his authority and the source of his authority in Matthew chapter 21, verse 23. We covered that at some time in the past. Well, Christ had divine authority, however, and there had already been an extensive, credible witness of it. And Jesus referred to that witness in Matthew 21, 23 to 27 with a lesson for people in his era as well as for our era today. I want to read that passage and then we'll look at it. Matthew 21, 23 through 27. And when he, that was Jesus, was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching, and said, By what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I and likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where was it? Was it from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, Why did ye not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John to be a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, We cannot tell. And he said unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Okay, what's going on here? When Jesus entered the temple, in Matthew 21:23a, the religious leaders approached him as he was teaching and asked, By what authority dost thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? What's interesting is, by these things, they referred to his triumphal entry, his acceptance of praise from the people, his clearing of the temple, his healing of the blind and the lame in the temple, and his teaching. Those were things that had happened before the Lord Jesus Christ was at this particular point, these things that happened the day before and so forth. Well, this was an important question in Jesus' day. I didn't know this until I studied this lesson. But Rabbinism, which is the whole movement of rabbis, held that all teaching must be approved by authority, some great, that would be human authority, whether it's an individual teacher or a decree by the Sanhedrin. Now, the leaders sought to discredit Jesus on his seeming failure in Jewish practice to appeal to another previous reputable human authority. See, the Jews at this particular time, they hadn't had a prophet for hundreds of years, since the days of Malachi and so forth, Zechariah and whatnot. So they, if you did not have the gift of prophecy and so forth, you had to rely upon some other great teacher, and you had to quote that teacher. Otherwise, you didn't have a right to teach. Well, Jesus comes out and says, I say unto you, and nobody else was doing that. So they thought, I think we can undermine him by going after his credibility. He has no rabbinical precedent. And that's how they're going to discredit him. Now, God had already provided so that even this rabbinic requirement would be met in Jesus' ministry. And Christ directed his questioners to that human authority precedent in his Matthew 21, 24 to 26 directive. Jesus replied that he would ask the religious leaders a question, and if they answered him, he would then tell them by what authority he had done these things that concerned them. I didn't have room to put this in the lesson, but it was very, very typical of the rabbis to teach by asking a question. Asking a question is something, you know, Jesus is not trying to evade them by, they've asked him a question, then he's going to answer the question and so forth. He's actually seeking to teach by asking a question. So, he's following right within the line of the rabbis. The question was this, the baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven? Or of men? Now this question actually pointed the questioners to John the Baptizer as Jesus' credible rabbinic precedent. John the Baptizer's ministry had so impressed the people of Israel that all men in Judea, Jerusalem, the area around Jordan, had gone out to him to be baptized in the Jordan, confessing their sins. You'll remember back in Matthew chapter 3, verses 5 to 6, that's what was going on. All of these people. Now, John then had publicly told the people of Israel that he was the forerunner of a greater messenger from God. He told them that in Matthew 3, 11 and 12. And when Jesus came to him to be baptized, John declared that Jesus was the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world in John 1, 29. And he said that he was the Son of God in John 1, 32 to 34. And of course, that's a claim to deity. We know it's a claim to deity because in John chapter 5, verse 18, the Jews took up stones to throw at Jesus to kill him because he said that God was his Father. And in making God his Father, he made himself equal with God. In those days, if you were a son, especially a post-bar mitzvah son, where you had this special coming out party as a young man, you were viewed by the other men in the community as being equal with your father. And Jesus refers to himself as the Son of God. And the word for son after the bar mitzvah changes from paideia to huios. And Jesus refers to himself as the huios of God. So this is, he refers to himself as the equal with God in the Jewish mind. He's not viewing himself as the paideia, which would be the immature child son. This is the equal adult with the father. Now, even more important was John's testimony that his decision to identify Jesus as the messenger from God came about not by John's initiative, but by divine revelation. This is very important. I'm going to look at this. John chapter 1, verses 33 and following. Let me pick it up at verse 30. He's referring to Jesus, and he's telling this to the crowd. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who was preferred before me because he was before me. And I did not know him, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. Now I did not know him, but he that sent me, that's God, to baptize with water, the same said to me, upon whom you shall see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he that baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Now it's interesting, John and Jesus were actually related because John was the child that was born to Elizabeth, who was a relative of Mary. And Jesus, of course, was born from Mary. So they are actually distant cousins of one kind or cousins, whatever. But John had, since childhood, had been raised in the desert, down in the Jordan Valley. Jesus was way up in Galilee. They hadn't met. They'd never met. So when John saw Jesus coming unto him, the only way that he knew that this was the Son of God is because God divinely revealed it to him. So that's a very powerful witness to the fact that Jesus is a messenger from God. We're not just talking about a secret plot that was concocted between John and Jesus, where John would pretend to be the forerunner and Jesus would pretend to be the Messiah. These men had never met each other, and yet God had clarified to John that he would know that this was the Messiah when he saw the Spirit coming, and he did. So he got this information by divine revelation. Accordingly, Jesus put his questioners in a difficult position. If they admitted that John's baptism was from heaven, then Jesus would ask them why they didn't believe John's supportive testimony about him. But if they replied that John's ministry was not from God, they would be despised by the people who all held that John the Baptizer was a prophet from God. That's very interesting in Matthew chapter 21, 25 and following. They reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he'll say to us, why did you not believe him? Especially John's witness about Jesus. But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all men hold John to be a prophet. So feeling cornered by Jesus' question, the religious leaders dishonestly answered Jesus, saying, we cannot tell. What they meant was, we cannot tell whether John's baptism was from heaven or from men. Well, since these religious leaders bypassed the reputable testimony of John, who whom God the Father had sent to fulfill even the rabbinic requirement of a reputable human authority for a teacher in Jesus, Christ refused to tell his questioners by what authority he had done what he had. If they refused to heed the forerunner God had sent for Jesus and John, they would not accept Jesus' authority were he to explain it any further. So the lesson is Jesus appealed to his forerunner, John the Baptizer, for the rabbinic requirement in his day that a spiritual teacher have a credible human authority behind him, which authority was both dependent on the authority of God by divine revelation and was viewed by the people of Israel as a prophet of God, and who claimed that Jesus was the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world and that he was the Son of God. Since the religious leaders refused John's credible authority, Jesus refused to explain any further his divine authority. If they weren't going to accept John's credibility, then for Jesus to try to explain his authority and where he got it from in this situation would be futile, because John was that rabbinic requirement. It's amazing how God went before in all of the areas, fitting in even with the Jewish culture and the Jewish practices. God went the extra mile to make Jesus credible, even giving a forerunner to meet the rabbinic requirements. So may we believe that Jesus is from God based on the credible testimony in his forerunner, John the Baptizer. And may we believers today heed the reputable human authorities behind reputable Bible teachers that we have today. May we also heed God's circumstantially evident signals that certify the credibility of his teachers today. And I put down John 1:33 to 34, where John saw the Holy Spirit coming down on Jesus, and that signified that he was the one who was the Son of God. I also put down Acts chapter 16, 6 to 10. Now, that's an event that demonstrates how to find the circumstantial leading of the Lord. And the Lord gave this, I'm sure, in order to set the record for us, because most of the time, the Christians today are led circumstantially by the Lord. And this is one of the evidences of how to do it. Let me read the passage. Acts chapter 6, beginning at verse 6. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region about Galatia and were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in the province of Asia, and after they were come to Mysia, they tried to go up north into Bithynia, but the Holy Spirit would not allow them. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, which is on the sea coast. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia. This is across the Adriatic Sea, or the Aegean Sea, rather. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly concluding that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel to them. Now, there's no reference here to the Lord himself actually appearing in the vision. But Paul had this vision about this man coming over to see us. So they had tried all the other doors. The other doors were locked. They went down to the seacoast. Then there's this vision Paul has about a man across the sea come over and helping us. What's also interesting is up till now, the Apostle Paul and his companions had been going west by northwest from Antioch of Pisidia, okay? And if you draw a straight line from Antioch of Pisidia up through Troas, where they were at this time, and you continue that line, it goes right over to Macedonia. Circumstantially, they had been going all along in the direction. God just said, "Oh, keep going. Just because there's a sea, don't stop. And I want you to cross the sea and keep on that same line and go over to Macedonia." And so Paul goes to Macedonia, and that's where the gospel comes to Europe, European forefathers of our forefathers. Now, that's very interesting circumstantially. So there are a bunch of lessons we can learn there. When God allows all sorts of doors to shut except one, he opens up. Circumstantially, that's often the signal that that's where he wants us to go. And also, we can line up the stepping stones as we've been, God's allowed us to step across the pond, and we can see the stepping stones to this day. Most of the time, if we line the stepping stones up, he wants us to continue going in the same direction. If he doesn't, he will ring a gong in our right ear, so we get the point, Now make a right-hand turn, now make a left-hand. But generally, God wants us to keep going the direction that he had. A lot of times Christians make the mistake of saying, oh, I got to change directions. And God says, wait a minute, I'm not leading you to change directions. How have I led you so far? Continue. So these are signals that we have of the Lord's circumstantial leading. In reference to this whole matter of credibility, when I filled out my resume and it was being examined here at Nepaug Bible Church, Bob Buford was one of the men who was on the, in fact, I think he was the chairman of the pulpit committee at the time. And Bob later told me, he said, you had a reference there by Dr. J. Dwight Pentecost. Dr. Pentecost was the head of Bible Exposition at Dallas Seminary. Of course, he's written the book Things to Come, which is a world-renowned book on prophecy. He actually helped the seminary when he wrote his doctoral dissertation. That book is his dissertation. Actually helped the seminary formulate its view of prophecy. He's that influential. Well, he was our pastor at Dallas, and I'd put his name down, and he let us use him as a reference. And Bob says, when you use Dr. Pentecost, J. Dwight Pentecost as your reference, he said, that stood in real good stead for you because we didn't know you from Adam, you know. But here you're being recommended by Dr. Pentecost. So he said, that was a big reason why we wanted you to come up here. And so we came up and so forth, and then things left from there. So this is something that is needed today. God knows that we need to have quality, credible, human references to his messengers. And so he provides that. And what we need to do is to pay attention to that and go with it. And then God will bless. And then we will know the messengers that God wants us to have.